In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Christos oscrese. Christos anesti. Have you ever met someone who, before they start reading a book, the very first thing that they do is they go ahead and they read the ending of the book first? This is actually a debate in my family. There are those like me, call us the purists, who refuse to do so. Purists will not read the conclusion of the book first. The last chapter is the last chapter. I don't want to know how the book will end until I get to the end of the book. There are others in my family, call them the spoilers, who start by going straight to the last chapter to see how the book will end. I am told by the spoilers in my family that if the book is sad or has an unhappy ending, they would rather not read the book in the first place. If you are a spoiler, if you like to read the end of the book first, then you will love three of the four Gospels. You will love Matthew, you will love Luke, and you will love John. At the end of these three Gospels, we see Jesus on the other side of the resurrection, very full of power and authority. These Gospels end on high notes. There is drama and encouragement and expectation that God will now forcefully move out into the world and through his risen Son bring salvation to all of creation. But if you are a spoiler, if you want to know how the book will end before you begin, then the Gospel of Mark may not be your cup of tea. The Gospel of Mark might make you stop and say, you know what, I am not so sure that I want to read this book. Our oldest and most reliable copies of the Gospel of Mark end exactly as we heard it this morning. Jesus is crucified, he is taken down from the cross by Joseph, and the next day the women are told by a young man that Jesus is gone, he is risen. No one sees Jesus, he makes no appearances to anyone, he simply disappears, and to make matters worse, the myrrh-bearing women are so terrified by it all that they run from the tomb and they say nothing to anyone, for they are afraid. That is not exactly a blockbuster ending. We never see Jesus. There are no stories of his activity after the resurrection. There is no road to Emmaus. There is no encounter with Thomas. There is no reconciliation with Peter. No great commission. No ascension into heaven. All we get from St. Mark is an account where Jesus is betrayed by a friend, abandoned by his closest followers. He is put to death. He is buried. He disappears from the tomb. And no one is willing to say anything to anyone, for everyone is afraid. Afraid of the Romans. Afraid of the religious leaders. And afraid and ashamed at how they denied and abandoned Jesus at his trial. At the end of Mark's gospel, the good news becomes a secret that no one is willing to tell. And in this way, the end of Mark is no different from the rest of Mark's gospel. When we go back and we read all of Mark's gospel, we find the whole blessed thing is full of people keeping secrets. Jesus, according to St. Mark, is constantly telling other people to keep quiet about the miracles, to keep quiet, rather, also about his true identity, about who he is. He doesn't want people to know in those earlier chapters that he is the Messiah. He doesn't want the world to know about his public ministry. Three times in St. Mark's Gospel, he commands the demons to be silent, Twice, he commands the disciples themselves to keep quiet about who he is. Four times, Jesus performs a miracle and then says, "Please don't say anything to anyone about what I have done for you." He raises two girls from the dead. He heals a third child who seems dead. And Scripture says that Jesus strictly charges them to say nothing to anyone. And don't forget the parables. The parables puzzle people. And 8 different times in Mark, we find Jesus pulling the disciples aside in private so that he can explain the meaning of the parables. St. Mark's gospel is full of secret keeping. Before his death, on every other page, Jesus is telling people to keep the news of his identity, who he is, to keep that a secret. But finally, after his death, when he finally issues a direct command to someone to go and spread the news, to go and share the good news of his resurrection, when he finally says, "Now is the time, my friends, to go and tell the whole world," when finally Jesus does this, no one listens. The one message they are supposed to share, the biggest message of all time, they receive it and they keep it to themselves. And so from beginning to end, chapter 1 to chapter 16, the gospel according to the Apostle Mark is full of everyone saying nothing to anyone. The life-giving message is now ready to be proclaimed, but from the start, the message is in danger. It's vulnerable. It's fragile. It is released into a world that doesn't know what to do with it. And the whole world is in danger of losing the priceless message of the resurrection. And the world will lose the gospel message if those who hear it choose to keep it to themselves. This includes the myrrh-bearing women, this includes the disciples, and now that you and I have heard the gospel of Mark, this includes us as well. You cannot unhear the end of Mark's gospel. We cannot now simply forget that the good news has been proclaimed, not just to the women, but also to us. And we cannot forget that no one is willing to say anything to anyone, for everyone is afraid. Mark's gospel is simply brilliant. The Holy Spirit for certain has earned the Nobel Prize. All this talk of keeping things secret, and certainly this ending, this puzzling ending, in which Jesus is abandoned and everyone is scared, all of this is present in the gospel so that we might feel the pinch, that we might feel it. This is an amazing shift in the story. Mark takes the responsibility for proclaiming the gospel and he moves it away from the disciples and he pushes it in our direction. By the end of the gospel, we realize that unless we now say something, the danger is very real that no one will say anything to anyone, and that the message of abundant life through Jesus Christ will be lost forever. You and I, on hearing Mark's gospel, we now become those who are entrusted with the angel's command, that command to go and tell the disciples that Jesus is going before them to Galilee. Jesus is going ahead to all of the Galilees that we call home, where people are sick and abandoned, in need of God's love and mercy. You and I are now the myrrh bearers who have seen the place where Jesus was laid. You and I are the ones who have been comforted by angels. You and I are the ones who now go to wait for the Lord so that he might lead us forward into the new creation, into this new heaven and earth, into the kingdom of God which is now birthed before us. You and I have been made apostles. We are now sent forth to proclaim and to baptize and to teach. And if we give into fear, if all we ever do is keep it to ourselves, if church is nothing more than a Sunday morning habit, the mission dies. We cannot unhear, Mark chapter 16, verse 8. Will we also receive the good news of the resurrection, but choose to say nothing to anyone because we are afraid? Brothers and sisters, the Gospel of Mark is just like those old commercials with Smokey the Bear. Do you remember those? These are the ads from the United States Forest Service. In them, there's a big, gentle cartoon bear. And he looks into the camera and he points a finger and he says, "Remember, only you can prevent forest fires." You remember these, right? Okay. That's exactly the force of St. Mark's gospel. He wrote his gospel in the way that he did so that by the final page, we realize that the great responsibility of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that responsibility is ours. Brothers and sisters, only you and only I can keep the world from forgetting the gospel. Only you and only I can run to Galilee and meet Jesus so that his life can become our life. Only you and I can go and tell Peter that he is forgiven. And if Peter is forgiven, everyone is forgiven. Only you and I can fall down before Christ as Thomas did and say to Jesus, "You are my Lord and my God." Only you and I can live up to the new commandment that we love one another even as Christ has loved us. It's our turn. So says Smokey the Bear, and so says St. Mark. Only you can do this. This is the message we now receive from the apostles. And you know, if it helps, for $29.99, I can go and get a 6-foot-tall cardboard cutout of the good bear and park Smokey directly next to the candle desk as a reminder each time we enter and exit the church that it is now up to us. It's now up to us. But brothers and sisters, whether it comes from Smokey the Bear or whether it comes from St. Mark, we have to remember that only you and only I, only we, can prevent the world from forgetting the good news of God's love. Let's do this. Amen. Christ is risen.